Hi, I'm Jasper Pattenden at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. What a week it's been. A couple of great games, and also, of course, league leaders Wickham Wanderers. Now 10 games on a winning run in all competitions, 8 in the league. It's an EFL record, and lots to reflect on. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from Phil in a few moments' time with our match briefing. We'll reflect on Tuesday night's fantastic last gasp victory at home to Mansfield, where a crowd of 4,670 were in attendance. Not bad for a Tuesday night, eh? There's obviously something to watch. There's something going on, isn't there? I think word's getting out. Things are going very well. Also, we'll hear from Luke Leahy, who scored the goal. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield. And also, with the build-up to Saturday's 11:30 kickoff, I know, at Wealdstone in the second round of the FA Cup, we'll speak to a midfielder who currently plays for Saturday's hosts, but made over 80 appearances for the visitors. Midfielder Max Kretschmar will be speaking to us a little later on. Also, we'll hear from the manager building up to that game as well. And Darcy will bring us the latest from Wickham Wanderers women. There might be other stuff too. We'll just have to see. You don't know what emerges, do you? All sorts could crop up. or nothing at all. But there's plenty to look forward to. All that and more on the way in the next hour. But first, let's hear from Phil, who brought us match commentary, as you'd expect, on Tuesday evening from Adams Park against Mansfield. And brilliant to get that goal in the closing stages. Of course, it doesn't feel that long ago that we were talking about how Wickham conceded late on in games. But now, it's the other way around.
Yeah, it was a really tight game. And I think full credit to Mansfield and Nigel Clough, because they certainly did their homework on Wickham Wanderers. And you know, really nullified our threats. You know, we've been in such excellent form, and we've taken teams apart, scored a lot of goals. And Mansfield, I thought, were really excellent. You know, let's not forget as well, League Two last season, got promoted, made a really good start to life in League One as well. I think they won 6 out of 7 games in September and October. They've had some narrow defeats of late, and another one last night on Tuesday night. And you know, I think if I was a Mansfield Town fan or Nigel Clough, I'd probably be feeling quite hard done by to leave with nothing. You know, they had chances on the break, but yeah, very, very solid at the back. I thought Aidan Flint did a great job on Richard Kone, and in the midfield, they were super competitive and played their part in what was quite an absorbing game to watch. But, you know, the thing with Wickham is the form and the momentum is so strong. You always thought there was going to be some, either a moment of magic or a mistake. It was that sort of game, and it turned out to be a stroke of luck at the end. But you know, Wickham, I thought, were excellent in terms of their application. They weren't at their fluid best last night by a long way, but I thought they were, you know, they were incredibly competitive all over the pitch. The subs made an impact. And when you don't concede, then, you know, when you do get a bit of luck, then you more often than not, you can get the 3 points.
And obviously, such a contrast in feelings. It doesn't feel that long ago, does it? We were talking about how often the team conceded late on in games, but now doing the opposite is fantastic.
Yeah, look, football is cruel, isn't it? And, you know, the Mansfield Town fans are excellent. Adams Park as well made a huge amount of noise. And you feel for those guys, because we know what it's like to be on the end of one of those. And I'm no doubt we'll be on the end of one of those again in the future, because that's how football works. But when they go in your favour, you've just got to enjoy it. And, you know, when I spoke to the gaffer after the game at Lincoln, you know, he said that, you know, him and his staff, the players, the fans, it's really important that they take the time to enjoy these moments that we're on, because football can be cruel. It can punch you in the nose sometimes, but you can hear it in the gaffer's voice when I spoke to him last night. You know, he's really enjoying this run of form that Wickham are on.
Those moments don't come along very often in football, those last, you know, last minute winners and, you know, the finishes and the starters, everyone up, elated. That doesn't come along very often. So when it does, you have to really savour the moment. I didn't think we were our best tonight. I thought we just lacked a little bit of edge and a little bit of sharpness about us. But to find a winner and for Lukey to get it, who's such a big personality for us, such a big character, such a big player, after the disappointment of the penalty, I know that hurt him on Saturday, and which it shouldn't, because anyone who's, you know, willing to step up in those moments has my ultimate respect. So, yeah, a really big moment for him and for us. Really, really nice.
Tough game as well. Mansfield made that very tricky for us.
Yeah, they did. Like, Mansfield are a good team, mate, and especially away from home, they've got some good results and got some good experience and just know-how. I felt like they had loads of know-how in their team, and Nigel's put together a really good squad. They've obviously freshened up from Saturday. We debated and felt like one change was the right thing for us. You know, we often change quite a few for the midweek games, but with Wealdstone at the weekend, we felt that this was the right move tonight. And it was a really tough night. It was a tough night for us, and it wasn't didn't have loads of flow in the game. It felt like it was quite stop-start and we weren't able to get any kind of momentum and continuity in our play. So, yeah, to come up with a moment like that at the end, we're obviously absolutely delighted.
Sign of a good team when you can get 3 points in a game like that?
I think a sign of a good team is to play well and win, but it's a sign of, you know, a team to try and win in different ways. Absolutely. We've played, I can't remember, you know, off the top of my head, too many times I've come away this year when we've won and felt like we've got a little bit fortunate. Obviously, like, we can't be perfect every game, and we found a way to win tonight. It was a tough game against really, really good opposition, and yeah, sign of a good team to get the result that we needed.
And this 10 wins in a row now, I mean, that's a clear record now for Wycombe Wanderers in the EFL era. Fans, you know, we said it on Saturday, can't believe it. I'm guessing they still can't believe it.
No, I genuinely need to thank them again tonight because, you know, as the evening wears on and the game gets late into it, I really felt like they stayed with the group and really believed. I think it's really important for us to stay calm in these moments because, you know, there's a lot of noise around us at the minute, a lot of talk, but we're so early in the season and we're fighting so far ahead of where we should be that we just need to enjoy it. And the fans are certainly savouring it and really kind of giving that belief onto the pitch to the players. So, yeah, and really, really pleased, really proud of the group. And we have to retain that hunger. And I know the characters in that changing room, I know they will.
Being up on the gantry, we could see the fans in the Frank Adams stands, their phones all checking their phones about the scores around the grounds. I know we're only in November, but when you're at the top of the table, that's what fans do.
Yeah, and I want them to enjoy those moments. I want them to really relish where we are. I think it's really important for that excitement to be around the ground, be around amongst our support base. You know, I've spoken many times about my desire to give our fans a team that they're proud of, a team that they love, you know, characters and personalities and players that they love and really feel connected to. And I feel like there's that connection at the moment. Obviously, the results help, but they can see the way we're trying to play. They can see the way the boys are, you know, really fighting for the badge on the front of the shirt rather than the name on the back. They're all in amongst it. And I hope they're really enjoying themselves at the minute.
And the scenes after the goal and the full-time whistle as well, really special as well, and it showed the unity and the bond in the group.
Yeah, it did. I've said it many times, but actions speak louder than words. It, you know, I feel like the group have got a real kind of togetherness and unity at the moment, and a real big bond. And that's not easy to find in football. There's certainly not easy to find, and we can't take that for granted. We have to cherish it and harness it and encourage it absolutely at all times. So, yeah, these are just words, unless the lads bring it to life and action it. And they're the ones at the moment that are demanding off each other and, you know, really working hard everything they can do. And if they retain that, then hopefully we can keep moving forward and seeing where the season takes us.
Did I notice a yellow card after the celebration for yourself?
Yeah, apparently I left the technical area, but I just said to H, it was only by about 40 yards, I think, so a little bit harsh. But
if it's 40 yards in the sky, does that still count?
Yeah, but then he said it might have been because the subs were on the pitch. I don't know. The last time I got booked like that was Hartlepool away when we had a last-minute winner in League Two at Colchester, but it is what it is.
Yeah, as you say, really positive to hear from the manager, and as he says, it's great, I think, that there's a real kind of sense of pride as well, isn't there, of being top of the league?
Yes, you know, you don't win anything for being top of the league in November, but you have to enjoy it as well. A long may it continue. 4 points clear. And, you know, I feel for those. Well, actually, no, I don't feel for the Birmingham and Wrexham fans. I hope they really were angry when they looked at their phone last night and they saw that Wickham were drawing 0-0 deep in stoppage time and thinking, oh, yeah, we've made up some ground on the chair, boys. But no, that late goal came in. So that was a bit of a sickener for them as well, which is good. But look, huge amount of games to go. Lots of football to be played. The transfer window coming up in January as well. You know, Birmingham probably considering, you know, stop mucking around and actually spend some money this window and see what they can do. So, yeah, we'll see. But look, top of the table in November, excellent run of form, FA Cup game coming up against the non-league side. You know, it's good times to be around the club. There's a big buzz going on. But look, everyone knows the size of the task at hand. And you know, talking to Luke Leahy last night as well, you know, they know it's the old cliche, one game at a time. But, you know, they're, I don't think anyone's getting carried away. And I think they realise what could be achieved. But to do so, you've got to really keep at it. But, you know, chatting to Luke last night, you know, he's always got a smile on his face. And, you know, the first question was an obvious one.
Luke, well, congratulations first and foremost. Cross or shot?
Yeah, it was a cross. It was a cross, but we'll take it. Yeah, it was. I sort of turned around after I've hit it, thinking, oh no, but then sort of looked back around and I seen this keeper struggling. So yeah, just so delighted that it went in.
Tough game tonight.
Yeah, we anticipated that. You know, they're always a tough side under him. So we anticipated it. You know, I don't think we created too many chances like we have in previous games, but that was the type of game it was going to be. And thankfully, we just kept going till the end and we found the win.
How important are these 3 points, you know, when there's tough games like this? You know, we can't win 5-0 every Tuesday night, but these are important points, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think the feeling in there, like after a last-minute winner is, you know, the 5-0 win was great and we felt brilliant, but, you know, like results like that tonight just show you how together we are, and like the scenes at the end when we celebrate, it's like you just can't beat that feeling and yeah, you know, hopefully it continues.
Great scenes at the full-time whistle and after the ball hit the back of the net as well.
Yeah, definitely. And this is like we work so hard in the weeks, you know, for moments like these, and it's great. But, you know, in this league and in these competitions, there's another game Saturday. So, you know, it was a great win tonight. But, you know, we have to focus now on the next game, which we have been doing. And it shows like we've won 10 on the bounce. But that's because, you know, we enjoy the win. But then we concentrate straight away on the next game. And, you know, we can't get too high. We've just got to keep our feet on the ground.
For you personally, the penalty saved on Saturday, so yeah. The perfect response tonight.
Yeah, definitely, you know. Although we won Saturday, I was so disappointed with the penalty miss. But tonight, that feeling just tops anything off from the feelings that I had Saturday.
Are the boys aware of the sort of the magnitude of this run? I mean, it's certainly a football league era club record for Wycombe Wanderers.
We notice it, but I think that's the best thing about, like, we're not really talking about it. We're just, like I said, we just concentrate on the next thing and we enjoy the moment, and then when it comes to business, we concentrate on what's next. And I think with the manager and the staff we have, you know, he's not going to let us get too high. And even, you know, in the defeats that we've had recently at this club, like last season, we never get too low as well. So it was a great feeling at the club, and yeah, long may it continue.
And what about the league table? Are the players looking at that, talking about that, or are they just leaving that to the fans?
You have a look straight away after the game, but it's nothing, like there's no talk of it in our group chats or in the dressing room. It's just we're just living in the moment and enjoying everything that's happening, and we'll continue to do so.
Brilliant to hear from Luke as well, and fantastic for him, obviously, as the manager mentioned in your chat with him as well, that, you know, he had that penalty incident, should we call it, and really rewarding for him as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is down to semantics really, but when you hit a penalty on target, then, you know, is it really a miss or has it been saved? The one against Crawley Town was a fantastic save. It was a well-struck penalty, low down into the corner. The keeper did brilliantly to get it. Luke Gamble went down the middle on Saturday against Lincoln, and the keeper left the leg hanging there and did well to save it. But look, he's a great character, Luke Leahy, and it was a perfect response last night. And I have to say, surprised actually, that he didn't say he meant it. He was very honest, wasn't he? But look, they all count. And you've only got to think back to Wembley in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy final. Peterborough did a similar goal in the last minute to win the trophy. So, you know, maybe that's helped cancel that one out. And who knows, maybe those 2 points extra we got last night in stoppage time could be really vital when it comes to the sharp end of the season.
And something else which you touched on in your chat with the manager as well, there's a real sort of sense of togetherness, and that can be seen with the celebrations at the end.
Yeah, I think the gaffer got his yellow card for being slightly exuberant in his celebrations. But look, people love football because of the drama and injury time winners. You know, you can't beat it, can you? So, yeah, you've got to celebrate those moments. And the gaffer got a yellow card for it. The bench, you know, like Shamal George was racing onto the pitch. This is a guy that hasn't played in the league yet for Wycombe Wanderers. Signed as a goalkeeper at the end of the window, but celebrated like he's been at the club for 10 years. And, you know, that's a sign of a fantastic sort of unity of the dressing room and the club. So long may that continue. With the wins and stuff, hopefully it keeps building.
And we should talk about Saturday morning's game, which I think is an expression I've never used.
Yes, yeah, I think in over the 500 or so Wickham games I've commentated on, I don't think I've ever done a morning kickoff. So I'm just grateful it's in London. So, and it's not far from Wickham because, yeah, it's an early start. It's an early start for the players because obviously their pre-match routines and their loading and all the other stuff they need to do. So it'll be an early start for them. But it's a classic FA Cup tie. This is why it's been chosen for TV, because it's got all the ingredients of a classic. You've got the highest ranked team in the competition, Wickham Wanderers, against the non-league team, a famous non-league team as well, Wealdstone. They've done things in their past as well, and they're a great club. It'll be a tight little ground, sold out. you know, you never know, do you? So, and there will be a result on the day, whatever happens. So, from a Wickham point of view, we hope it's not dramatic. We hope it's a routine game. You know, the gaffer alluded to changes being made, but we know that that doesn't really weaken us. So whoever's selected from 1 to 11 will be trusted to do the job and are more than capable of doing the job. So, but look, we know what the FA Cup can do. We've done it to bigger teams than us. So we have to be mindful of that, respect the opposition, respect the day, and hopefully get through and get ourselves into the hat for the third round, because you never know what comes out of that.
A really nice link to having Max as well, for him as well, who we'll hear from later in the show. But and he'll say that his wife's family are season ticket holders at Wickham as well.
Yeah, Max Kretschmar is a great guy. You know, he's a really highly thought of player and person at Wickham Wanderers, and it's brilliant to see him doing so well in the National League, which I think is an excellent league as well. We saw that when York came down in the first round. It's a fantastic level. I think the gap between the conference, or the National League as it's now known, and the Football League is a lot narrower than it has been in the last sort of 30, 40 years. You've got full-time teams down there as well. So it's a really good level. Max was a great pro at Wickham, and it's really good to see him still doing things on the pitch. And hopefully not doing anything too special on Saturday, although it will be good to see him. But, you know, great links between the two clubs down the years. The amateur history of Wickham Wanderers, and when Wealdstone were a rival in the league and cups back then, you know, there's several players, you know, Max being on a very long list of people who've played for both clubs. And, you know, I'm thinking about people like Luke O'Nine in recent times, Scott McLeish, players like that. You know, and the ground, it used to be Ruislip Manor before Wealdstone bought it. And Ruislip Manor was where Davy Carroll cut his teeth before moving to Wickham. And we all know what he did for Wickham Wanderers, and even played in the FA Cup semi-final against Liverpool for Wickham. So there's links all over the place. There's fans who probably would have lived nearby Wealdstone and moved out to Wickham and have a soft spot as well. So this is going to be a great FA Cup day, you know, and I hope Wickham avoid the banana skin and get themselves in the hat for the draw.
I was going to say, because the third round must feel, you know, in touching distance for those that do play on Saturday now.
Yeah, it's a dangerous one, because obviously, you know, the bookmakers and the pundits will have Wickham down as firm favourites. Like I said earlier on, we're the highest ranked team in the competition now. So that we're there to be shot at, though, as well. But, you know, when Wickham Wanderers beat Leicester at Filbert Street back in that run, nobody would have given Wickham a chance that day. But the FA Cup can do this. It's a one-off. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Luck could go against you. Wealdstone could play at the very best of their game, and Wickham might not be on it. You know, and that's up to Matt Bloomfield now to make sure that Wickham are stepping up to this one and respecting it. And I'm sure he will be. So look, FA Cup, that's why this is the most loved cup competition in the world, because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, enjoy the romance of the cup yourself, and get FA Cup fever as well.
Indeed, yes. Yeah, fever at 11:30 kickoff in the morning. So, but look, Wickham being on terrestrial TV is great as well. You know, I hope you put on a good show, and it helps really spread the word of the Chair Boys, and also for Wealdstone too, because it's a great day for them. You know, hopefully they lose, but they make some good money from the TV and the gate receipts, etc. And it helps cement their place in the National League and enables them to kick on too.
Great to speak to you. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Colin.
Great to have Phil on the show. As always, we'll be bringing you live match commentary from Wealdstone on Saturday. The game kicks off at 11:30. You'll hear that here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV as well, where you can hear the full interviews with the manager, Matt Bloomfield, and Luke Leahy that you just heard as well, them talking in more detail after the Mansfield game. Second part of the Wickham Wanderers show on the way here at Wickham Sound.
Across High Wickham and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
The Chair Boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wickham Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line.
Take your time, Rich. Take your time.
Kona. Here he comes.
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair Boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wickham Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
Second part of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. We'll hear more from manager Matt Bloomfield ahead of Saturday's trip to Wealdstone in the FA Cup. Darcy will bring us the latest on Wycombe Wanderers women as well. More club news to bring you though, and the round of 32 for the EFL Trophy, which is now known as the Virtue Motors Trophy, kicks off at 7 o'clock on Tuesday the 9th of December. That's against Swindon. So some more under the lights Tuesday night action for you to look forward to at Adams Park. But first, with thanks to the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, previewing Saturday's trip to Wealdstone even further, we'll hear from one of their current players and someone who started off in Wycombe's Centre of Excellence under Richard Dobson, midfielder Max Kretschmar.
I was released from Southampton when I was at the end of my under-14s age group. So I went on trial at Brentford and Wycombe, and I think it was like an awful rainy day at the old training ground on Marlow Road. Trained there with the under-15s, really enjoyed it. Richard Dobson was there. Paul Lambert was the manager at the time, so his staff were kind of in the academy director set up. But yeah, really enjoyed training. Obviously, they wanted to sign me straight away, so signed. And yeah, had a really good under-15s, under-14s season. I think I remember Anthony Stewart, his first comments on me were, bloody hell, he's very small and skinny. He can't be playing with us today. But I was playing with them. And yeah, like I said, I had really, really good times, really good coaches. Obviously, Richard Dobson was kind of developing through the setup himself from academy director then to assistant manager, obviously, eventually. But yeah, no, it was really enjoyable. The training was engaging, really good. But just on that first day, it was absolutely peeing with rain, and it was definitely a memory that lives on in my memory.
Coincidentally, we had Richard on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned that he'd sort of spoken to your mum and said that they were happy to kind of wait for you to develop because he saw the sort of talent in you. That must be fantastic to kind of know that, and you know that a coach like that has got such faith in you.
Yeah, exactly that. When I was at Southampton, they had told me that the year below me, which was a really strong year with some professional players who are playing in the Premier League now, that they didn't want to drop me down a year to like kind of stunt their growth. So I came to Wycombe, like I said, quite a skinny, small player. Always good technically, because obviously I think that was one of my strengths. And Southampton for 5 years had like kind of nurtured that as well, being one of the best academies in the country at the time. But yeah, Dobbo literally just said, yeah, we'll wait for you physically. It did come late for me, I think 16, but he actually, we had this, I tell him all the time, but my mum gets emotional over it because we had an interview, or like a midterm report, shall we say, and they wanted to give me a scholarship, an apprenticeship contract 6 months early. Dobbo was like, I told you we'd wait for you. And my mum just started bawling, crying. She said, you did, yeah. So yeah, no, I owe Dobbo a lot because he did wait for me and he kept his promise, which is quite rare in football.
And even at that time in your career, did you really notice your own sort of game development?
Yeah, no, obviously I knew my strengths and my weaknesses. My weaknesses were simply physicality. So I was coached by, you know, my coaches and Bobo, like not to get into those physical battles, to try and be technically, you know, as perfect as you can be, one and two touch, move the ball on quickly. And obviously without the ball, get stuck in. There's none of the team can not do that. But and then obviously I think it was only until 19 I started, you know, started seeing like the rewards in the gym and the hard work. But yeah, I kind of knew my game. I knew what my strengths were, my intelligence on the pitch, finding space and technical aspects like my first touch and finishing and things like that. But yeah, there was lots of improvement to be done on probably one of the things, which is one of the most important things in League Two, which was, you know, physicality.
Well, I imagine a fantastic feeling when you got to break into the first team.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, I got my first year pro and didn't play a single match in the first season. That was with Gary Woodock and then Ainsworth manager for the final half of the season. And yeah, it was tough. I was training really well and getting good feedback and was on the bench twice, but never really was going to come on in either of them games. And yeah, so I think from the outset, they were like, I got given another pro contract at the end of the season. And maybe people were like, oh, we haven't seen him. Why has he had that? And then it was that summer. I literally was in the gym probably most days. You know, didn't turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger, but got a little bit stronger, and it helped me that season when I broke through. I think I played in the first game for literally 3 or 4 minutes. It might have been Morecambe at home or someone like that. They played in red. And yeah, it was just like the best feeling ever, especially coming on at Adams Park where I'd been a youth team player and watched the games every single week. And it was a special special feeling, and then obviously ended up scoring 6 goals that season and helping us, you know, stay up.
Because I imagine, again, it's quite a strange feeling, that period of uncertainty, especially with the change of manager as well.
Yeah, change of manager, and Gary Woollett liked technical players, so he was quite fond of me. He obviously gave me my first pro contract. And like you said, there was loads of things when he left was up in the air. Who was going to be the manager? Because I think Ainsworth took over on caretaker basis, if I can remember. Financially, there was a lot of things off the pitch. Obviously, we had the fans kind of having their share of the ownership of the club and things like this. So, yeah, there was a few youth team players coming through at that stage because I think the club had no option but to kind of put their faith in this group.
And I guess as well, you were really pleased, obviously, to get your chance and really made the most of it as well.
Yeah, obviously, I was buzzing. You know, my best memory was probably Hartlepool away when I think it was 0-0 at half-time. And I came on at half-time and scored 2 goals second half, and just that feeling and coming off the pitch and then speaking to my parents outside on the coach. Yeah, it was great. And luckily, thankfully, it ended up, you know, being enough for us to stay up. I think I scored 6 goals that season. We won every single game. I think we beat Hartlepool 2-1, and there were some 1-0s against Chesterfield, Exeter away. So yeah, I think all my goals that season ended up in achieving 3 points, and that proved really important at the end of the season, with that famous day away at Torquay when we thought all hope was gone. But yeah, the results managed to go our way and we managed to stay up. And then I think the building blocks were put in place that summer by the manager and the coaching staff for what now it probably led to where Wickham are today.
How would you describe that kind of that Torquay occasion, especially from a player's point of view?
As a 19-year-old, I was quite fearful. I was quite. I didn't start the game. I don't think I even came on, but I didn't start the game. But we kind of knew everything was out of our hands because obviously Bristol Rovers had to lose, and we had to win. But I think early in this first half, we were maybe 1 or 2 nil up, and we kind of knew we was going to win. But yeah, I was. We had like one. Old-fashioned now, but we had a radio on the side of the pitch and we had the kit man just checking the score with the radio at Bristol like every 2 minutes, and then you hear like the roars from the crowd. And yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of that on the final day this summer up and down the leagues. But yeah, it was kind of exhausting as well. We'd had our end of season awards dinner cancelled and then it was reinstated after we won, so it was a bit manic, but we stayed out. That was the main thing.
I was going to say, to be going so close to going out of the league, okay, I imagine it made it even better to, you know, and sweeter just to stay up.
Yeah, it was. As we said, I had so much to deal with that season. And Gareth had so much to deal with off the pitch and on the pitch. And yeah, I mean, I don't really know. There were rumours of what would happen financially for the club if we went down or this and that. We'll never know. But thankfully, as I said, that was history. We stayed up and, you know, next season we obviously lost at Wembley in the playoff final, but Gareth really completely fixed the squad up, fixed the culture. And like I said, it's led to where probably Matt Bloomfield has it today. It's a brilliant club and a brilliant team.
So what was it like playing for the manager, and what would you say he did for your game?
Well, the culture, obviously everyone bangs on about the culture. He kind of created himself. He just gave me confidence. Obviously, as a skinny 19-year-old, he gave me confidence to play. It was a bit tricky because I was playing in all different positions. Sometimes I'd play on the right, the left, up front for a game or two. And then if I wasn't unbelievable, then I'd get taken out. Or if someone got injured, I'd fill in for them for a few games. That was kind of the story of the later years at Wickham. But for my game, I think he just gave me the opportunity. I think Dobbo influenced my game the most, trying to stay true to myself and trying to find little moments I could affect in the game, which was kind of a direct style of play back then. So it wasn't exactly designed for me, but it was successful. And yeah, it was just the opportunity Ainsworth gave to me, really. And it was up to me to kind of take it.
I'm sure when you started out, you couldn't imagine you'd have gone on to play over 80 times for the club.
Well, yeah, we had this little, I did want to. We had, like I said, Dobbo had, we had like 8 or 9 players coming through at this stage. Kadeem Harris, Anthony Stewart, Charles Dunn, myself, Josh Goen, like there were loads coming through, Junior Marais. And we had a little A4 piece of paper on the wall in the youth team bit upstairs. And it was like, right, it was like a pyramid sort of thing. So the first step was make your debut. And the second step was like 5 league appearances. And the third step was like 10 starts in League 2 or whatever. And that kind of stuck in my mind quite a lot. So I'm actually annoyed I haven't played 100 or more league games, because that's what I kind of wanted to do. But we always had those goals set from us, from Dobbo, even as 16, 17-year-olds. I did want to play 80 games. I did want to play more in the end.
Well, your career's not over yet. Perhaps you can come back.
Who knows?
And fantastic for you, I guess, that especially, we'll talk a bit more about Saturday in a second, but great that, you know, players that you played with are still there, like Josh and Jason, and obviously the manager and Fred as well.
Yeah, Josh has just been a fantastic career. And he had a little coin toss kind of moment in his career when Waddock left. He wasn't really too much in favour. And then I remember him training and the boys were like, you've got to bring this guy back from loan. I don't know if he was at Hemel Hempstead or something. And Ainsworth was like, boom, straight comeback on loan, started the first game. And then that was the rest of his career. I think it might have been Dagenham away or something like that. And he did brilliantly. And he's had a fantastic career. And yeah, Jason, obviously I lived with Jason for a year in that final year I was there. Did we play Aston Villa that season? And that was the season. Yeah, I think we did, in the FA Cup. So yeah, it'd be nice to see some old faces. But obviously once the whistle goes, then it's all hold barred.
And I guess you were quite keen to get the manager's number 10 shirt at the time as well.
Oh no, that was never coming off Bloom's back. We're nearly in retirement stage for that shirt now, if he keeps going the way he is. But no, number 10 has been obviously my favourite number, or my favourite players have played there and things like that. But I had the number 22 eventually. I really like that number. It's quite symmetrical, but also, I really liked it. I think Kaká had it, AC Milan and things like that. But yeah, no, Blooms wasn't going to give up that shirt, and nor should he, because he achieved so much in it.
It's so pleasing for what he's done for the club and to see him, in charge now and what he's doing there.
Yeah, I mean, always an intelligent player, intelligent person, intelligent football person who we always wanted to discuss the game on away trips, on the coach, and hard worker as well, like just a professional on and off the pitch. I'm not surprised he became a manager. There might be a slight bit of surprise of how well he's doing so quickly at such a young age as a manager. It's incredible, because obviously he went to Colchester and as soon as the guys left the QPR, he was straight to Wickham. And, I do have an attachment to the club, because my wife's family are season tickets at Wickham. So I do hear the bits and bobs, and it was a bit tricky at the beginning, obviously changing style of play and letting things blend in. But boy, oh boy, absolutely flying now, obviously, with the win last night, 10 in a row. And yeah, sitting pretty against some massive clubs in League One.
And I imagine as well, as you say, a real sense of pride for yourself that you kind of helped lay the foundations, really, in terms of, especially that Torquay moment and what's been built since.
Yeah, of course. It is nice. I was a bit obviously gutted. Obviously, I think they gained promotion two seasons after I left, and obviously promotion to the Championship, which was incredible. And yeah, you see some of your old teammates still in the National League. You play against them, and I'll chat about it. But yeah, we do, like I said, it could have gone either way that day in 2014. So it is nice, and gives me a good feeling when I go back there as well, that I've contributed a tiny little bit to the success they're having today.
Are you pleased with the way things are going at Willesden now? You've scored recently as well against Rochdale and Aldershot.
Yeah, really difficult season. Never had... the bare facts are, Willesden in the National League have probably the smallest budget and are punching well above their weight. And we've been in the division for 4, 5, 6 years now. So we are normally going to be in the middle or towards the bottom end of the table. Those are just the facts. We don't want to be there, and we're making strides off the pitch. We're training 3 times a week now, rather than just 2 evenings. So we're in the league now with full-time clubs, and huge clubs. I'm sure Wickham Wanderers fans will be well aware of. Your Barnets, your Oldhams, your Chesterfield just come up last season. Notts County, Wrexham were in our league last season 2 years ago. So yeah, but we had a tricky start. Like, we just had an injury crisis as early in the season as I can remember in my whole career. We had probably 5 starters not starting the first game of the season for whatever reason. And eventually Matt Taylor, the manager, managed to get we've still got players missing now, but near his strongest team. And obviously the signing of Alex Reid from Oldham on loan has transformed us, because we've now got a focal point up front. And since his arrival, myself, Sam Ashford and him have started scoring goals, and we started winning games. And obviously, we didn't have a game last night, so everyone will play last night and on Saturday before we have another go at it. So we'll have 2 games in hand. But results went all right last night. There were some draws and some wins from teams lower down. But yeah, we've definitely picked up in the last 6-7 weeks, picked up some good results. But we look like scoring, as obviously you guys will know from Wickham, because they're free scoring as well. But we look like scoring now, and we have different avenues for creating and scoring goals, which is really positive.
So what was your reaction when the draw was made for the second round of the cup?
So I had it on my TV, on the iPlayer. So I was on a bit of a delay, and my wife's mum, so my mother-in-law, started ringing me, and I was like, what's this about? So I picked up the phone. She's like, you've seen it? Have you seen it? I was like, no, I'm on a delay. And then literally the ball came out there. We was at home. And then obviously I kind of put two and two together. But yeah. And then my phone just started blowing off with friends, family, my dad, my sister. So it was really funny. It was really good. Obviously, I was buzzing with the draw, of course. I think we played you guys in pre-season maybe last year or the year before, and I was injured for that game. So touch wood, everything goes well Thursday night training. And let alone my attachment to the club, which is really, really strong. We have the biggest seeding, or the highest seeding draw we could have possibly got, because obviously you guys are top of League One. So it's amazing for our club. The rhetoric since I've kind of come here to Willstone is that we get dodgy, we get unlucky draws, and then we get a tough team away in the first round, in fourth qualifying round. And we've never had that big day out. And obviously when we went up to Grimsby, it was another tough draw in the first round. And we won, and it was the first time in over 40 years we got to the second round. So to get this sort of reward, especially with it being televised on national TV and hosting a big club at home, it's the perfect draw for us.
It should be a great atmosphere as well. I think it's nice, isn't it, when you have a non-league ground and a league club coming, especially in a cup game.
Yeah, and I think when you do watch, especially the Premier League, I know Wickham have been League One, League Two, they'll know a little bit about non-league and things like that, but the atmosphere just before and after a game, you can't get rid of the people in the bar. It's brilliant. Like it's a real community club, and it's similar to Wickham in that sort of sense, because it means a lot to the local people. And it's a, like I said, it's a huge reward for them mainly. I think tickets are completely sold out. We're going to win 100%, and that's what the fans would want. And I think we can win. We'll have to be spot on. I'm sure our goal will have to be on fire, and we might have to get a bit of luck. But it's just going to be a great day. And obviously, I hope that we can put on a performance to appease the fans as well.
What are your thoughts on an 11:30 kickoff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be scoffing pasta at about 7 a.m. Like, I've never had to do that unless I was probably getting a flight on holiday or something. But a bit bizarre. We're trying to work it out. I've been speaking to friends about it. We think that, because obviously there's no replays, extra time, maybe if it was a 12:30 kickoff, take it to the blackout 3 o'clock zone. I don't know if that's true. That's kind of what we've come up with. But yeah, unusual. Like I said, it'll just alter my eating and drinking and things like that before the game. Like I said, I have to get up earlier and cook some stuff. But yeah, bit of a weird one, but it is what it is really. And to have that game on TV I'd rather play it on TV at 11:30 than not have the televised game at like a 12:30 or 1 o'clock. Willstone's near to clubs like QPR, Chelsea. You know, sometimes I don't know if those teams are away. If they are away, then we do get a lot of those fans come in and pop in, and things like non-league day is a great opportunity for teams who support, you know, fans who support teams higher up the league to come and watch us. And like I said, it will be a full house, and I'm sure 11:30, 1:30, 5:30. They'll be there. So, I'm looking forward to it.
We wish you all the best for Saturday, sort of. And just finally, how do you look back at your time at the club?
Very fondly. You gave me my biggest opportunity. I had the biggest people influence my career in Richard Dobson, and gave me my start in professional football, and everything's come from there. Of course, I've done good things along the way, and I've earned that opportunity through hard work and getting over the countless disappointments with Wickham and before that. But it's the resilience that kind of lets you have a career. And I'm not saying I've had an incredible career, because I haven't, but that lets you play, like, just have the best job in the world until now. And I'm 31, still be doing it. Football kind of makes you, you have to be resilient if you want to have a long career. And that long career kind of started with Wickham. So yeah, eternally grateful, and obviously looking forward to seeing some old faces both on the pitch, in the dugout, and also in the crowd. So really, really looking forward to it. And yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to watch you play and to share your memories and to hear about your development. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Brilliant. No worries. Thank you.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Wealdstone in the second round of the FA Cup. And it's an 11:30 kickoff. You might be well aware of that already. Plus, now though, let's bring you our regular catch-up with the latest goings-on with the Chair Girls, a fantastic collaboration with the Foundation, and Wycombe Wanderers women doing very well this season. They're well in contention in their division after seven league games and had a couple of cup games recently as well. I'm very pleased to say we can hear from Darcy, who does the social media for the Foundation for the club, and can tell us a bit more about how the team are doing currently.
The league table's pretty close at the moment, really. Wycombe are currently standing in fifth on 14 points, but the league leaders are only on 19. So I guess like there's a lot of time to catch up, because with the league like this, especially, there's weeks where some teams don't play, some teams do, some games get cancelled, some don't. So it's always a very close running up until the very end, it feels like. And Wycombe have definitely like come into form a lot more recently. We're on a good run at the moment. It's been a good start to the season, and morale feels very high in the team.
And goals seem to be in plentiful supply as well.
Oh yeah, no, it feels like goals galore at the moment. The last game we played away at Winchester, it was a goalless first half, and then straight out the gates in the second half, it was like bang, 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 four goals. Imani Kasson got her second hat trick for the second week in a row, so it's pretty impressive. And goal scoring form, it's been a lot of fun to watch, and a lot of fun to record as well from a media point of view as well.
And brilliant to get those goals up. Fans' reaction as well, especially, you know, there was 13 goals in one game, 11 goals in another.
Yeah, no, the cup games are definitely some of the most goal-filled games. The one it was the 11-0 the 11-1, sorry, against Milton. That had a great reaction from it. And the fan turnout that game as well at Burnham was amazing. It was one of our records for the season, and you can just tell how much like fans showing up and support coming to Burnham really, it helps the Chair Girls so much. Like, you can see the movement, like the energy on the pitch is elevated completely by the fans in the stadium. It is amazing.
We've said a few times, some of the players that we've spoken to in recent weeks on the show, that, you know, in the run-up to the season, Carl said that he wanted more creativity and attacking in their play, and that certainly seems to have happened.
Yeah, it definitely feels fluid. When you watch the attacks in the games, it's definitely a more fluid pace, and some of the new players that have been introduced, like Kayla Potter, Danielle Puddifoot, Ellen Wardlaw, Eilish, Carolan, they're all working well together so seamlessly, and it has definitely elevated the attack this season.
And there's a real sense of togetherness. And speaking to some of the new players, you know, they all say how welcome they've been made to feel and how easily they fitted in.
Yeah, no, when you meet them for the first time, when I've met them for the first time, it was like, oh, I can't believe you're someone who's new. Like, it feels like you've been here for ages, because you just slot in so seamlessly. And like, I guess it helps because a lot of the girls know each other from different clubs throughout the years, so there's already that slight connection, but they just come together as a team so flawlessly, it feels like. And it's just such a nice atmosphere in the club,
and such a real benefit to the team as well, that, you know, many of them have played at different levels and had such great experience and want to bring that to this project and get promotion for Wycombe, and that must really benefit the younger players too.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of youngsters come up in the past few weeks as well, like start making their way into the first team, and to play alongside players who have played in high divisions, that experience is so valuable for them developing their skills. And you can definitely tell as well, because it's like it's a lovely progression throughout the team. I like that it's not just one static age group kind of players who've had similar experience. It's such a together team that really highlights the growth of players and bouncing off of each other and developing each other in different ways. It's like the younger players will help the older players, for example, think like the way of football has changed, and everyone's learning off of everyone.
And it must be something motivating for the youngsters as well, especially in the under-18s and the development team, thinking, oh, you know, we could break into that, and that pathway is there for us.
Yeah, 100%. Seeing their teammates go and getting playing time in the first team, it's a motivator, isn't it? You're like, that could be me. It's not impossible. And Wickham are very good at giving those opportunities to those players to get first team experience and work alongside the first team players. And I think that's great to see. And you can tell that the younger players love it as well. And you can tell when they step over that white line onto the pitch, it's an enjoyable experience. And they're learning such valuable things and being part of a bigger team and a bigger community. It's not just the different teams. It's not the under-18s, the Debs and the first team. Like, everyone comes together and it's such a community and family.
And such an interesting run of fixtures coming up. Home game on Sunday against Chelsea for the first team, and then a cup game at Penn and Tyler's Green as well, and then Reading after that.
Yeah, so it's a good run of games. Chelsea at home this weekend will be a great game. Chelsea currently without a win in the league. So that'll be an interesting one to see if Wickham can continue their good run of form against Chelsea's slightly less good run of form. And then Penn will be a great game. They play in the league below, so it'll be a good match, but they're doing really well at the moment, Penn. And it's a nice home derby, local derby, which will be interesting.
And then Reading, of course, that'll be, so we spoke to Danielle recently and Kayla, they briefly played for Reading as well, and many other players. Bobby started out there as well. I guess many of the players have Reading connections, and obviously they've played at much higher level recently too.
Yeah, so Reading will be a great game. It got postponed earlier in the season, so this is us going back there now. Again, they're not on a great run of form. They've only played four league games, Reading have. So it'll be interesting to see that they're still so technically early into their season. They've not really got off the ground running yet. Whereas Wickham are established, we've had a good run of games. And obviously a few teammates will have known each other, played for them. So it's a good connection and a good chance to try and get some more points on the board in an interesting fixture.
And we touched on it a short while ago as well, but when you're doing the social media, do you notice a real increase in interest in the team and the progress that they're doing?
Yeah, there's definitely been a huge amount of interest growing. I think there's been a really nice development this season of interaction between the men's team and the women's team and the foundation. And it's really, everything seems to be coming together so nicely. And again, it's just that building of a family and of a community. So you can definitely tell that there are more of the more typically men's fans interacting with the women's team and seeing how well we're doing and bouncing off of that. And it's growing into such a nice community and shared space, really.
That was really highlighted with the EFL Week of Action last week when the members of the women's team were up at Cressex, although they did look very cold. And then, and also that Bobby recently did a video that people would have seen on YouTube and online as well with Jack as well, although I couldn't wholly understand the purpose of the cups and the balls.
No, that was a way that the only thing I could think of how to answer the questions in a way that's not just being asked the questions. So I was like, I think I did make a mistake of giving them way too many cups. So
it did look like about a lot of cups.
Yeah, it took an hour of filming. It was quite a long video to edit. But there's just such a nice community growing, and like to have the captain of the men's team, Jack, come in, interact with the team and get a better understanding on how they're doing, because people are so focused on the men's team's results, because obviously they're on such an incredible run at the moment, that it's nice for them to acknowledge and understand how good the women are doing as well. It's not just separate teams, like we are a family now. There's one big club, which definitely feels like it's been elevated more since last season, the interactions between the men and women's teams.
It's been great to get the behind-the-scenes cup and ball news as well. Hopefully that'll really catch on. Brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have Darcy on the show. As always, she mentioned one of the newer signings. Ellen will be chatting to her on the show next week. Let's turn our attention finally, though, to the second round of the FA Cup and the trip to Wealdstone. Manager Matt Bloomfield has been speaking to the media, including Sam and myself, to preview a trip to some familiar opponents.
We've been down there a few times in pre-season. They've got Maxi Kretschmar in their team, who we know very, very well. Stuart Maynard done a very good job before. Matty, I've known Matty for a few years, did a UEFA B with Matty, you know, 10, 12 years ago. Great guy. So we know all about Wolverstone. We know the threats that they're going to pose and they're going to cause us. So yes, it's not far down the road, is it? There's, you know, the other thing, I don't want to be too serious, it's an exciting FA Cup tie for us. You know, I love this competition. It's given us some great memories over the years. When we've played Aston Villa, we've played Tottenham Hotspur, we've had some great days in it ourselves. So we have to make sure that we enjoy it, we relish it and embrace the moment that we've got.
One thing I haven't actually asked you about the FA Cup this year is about the fact that there obviously aren't any replays. So they were scrapped ahead of this season. So if it is a draw, it would go to extra time and penalties. And we saw a few games in round one where non-league sides sort of got undone by that a little bit. Western Supermare against Bristol Rovers, for example. What do you make of that, the scrapping of the replays? So obviously, it may impact Wickham as well. You know, should you get through and pull a big tie, it might have an impact on a negative impact on Wickham as well.
Yeah, I guess it's two-pronged, isn't it? If a smaller club gets a bigger club at home and get a draw, they'd like the away tie for the money and that brings. But if the smaller club, the perception of the smaller club, whether that's an early round or a later round, gets the games, go to extra time and penalties, they're at home and they can take advantage of that. So it is what it is. I think that we've got an extremely packed schedule, especially with the international games that have been called off. You know, we had three call off this season that haven't been our choice. So that then makes for a jam-packed schedule further down the line. It's one of those things. I guess it's just the scenario of the situation that you find yourself in. It's going to help some teams and clubs, and it's going to probably not pay off for other clubs. So the authorities and the FA make the right decision, what they see right at the time. And we just have to make sure we're understanding of the situation we're in. We've obviously got a long trip to Exeter Tuesday night. We've just come off Mansfield. Our energy is everything to us in our performance, so we need to make sure we're ready to go.
Great stuff, Matt. See you Saturday. Best of luck.
Cheers, Sam. Bye, mate.
Great to chat to you. Thank you so much, Neil, for your time. And something that which you mentioned in your post-match interview on Tuesday is that the players are really finding a way to win. Is that something you're kind of coaching, or is that something that they're developing as this run continues?
Yeah, I did say that, and I believed it at the time. Having watched the game back, I actually think that we were slightly better than the perception that we all had on the night. There was a lot of our usual principles that came out in our play. We didn't quite have that final touch, which actually meant that we needed Lukey's late goal to get us the victory. And it was great. I'm not taking away from that. It was great to find a way to win. But there was some good stuff involved in the game. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, but having watched it back, there was a lot more of our principles that came out in our performance than what I realised on the night. Mansfield did a great job of imprinting themselves in the game. And I think their physicality and athleticism at the back gave them a real kind of footprint to build their performance on. So, we're really pleased to get the result. Obviously, you know, any result in this league is tough to come by. So to find a way so late on and have that euphoric moment that we did, they don't come around too often. So when they go in your favour, you have to enjoy it.
And Sam mentioned the unusualness of the kickoff time. And I guess something else which might affect your preparation slightly, I guess, is that, you know, the fact that, you know, the highest ranked team left in the competition and seen as favourites to progress.
Yeah, for me, mate, you know, my answers I'm going to give you. It's just, I see Wildstone as a really tough opposition. I really like Matt. I like the job he's done. I really respect him as a person, as a football man, as a coach and a manager. And I think that they've got some good players. They've got loads of players that played in the league. They know, you know, coming off the back of a few good results as well, they're in good form. So it's a tough game for us, mate. And it's all about us making sure that we approach the game in the right manner and perform in the manner that we need to win any game. And this one's going to be a tough one. So it's all on us to make sure we perform in the right light.
And do yourself and the players, do they not perhaps think like fans? Because I think as supporters, you think, the third round is in touching distance now and possibly a big team tie as well.
Of course, that's the magic of the FA Cup, isn't it? And I'm probably a little bit of a football romantic at heart. I grew up watching the FA Cup and I love it. And you always dream of getting to the later rounds. It's been you know, kind to us a couple of times over the years. You know, the year before I signed, it was extremely kind to this football club and Rhino scored in the semi-final. So we know the glamour of it. We know that the possible scenarios that are further down the line. So you have to, there's no chance of getting there unless you do the early rounds right. And that's what puts extra importance on us to make sure that we perform. The expectation on ourselves as well. Don't forget that, you know, I have an extreme desire to be the best I can be. And we have a desire amongst ourselves to be the best. And that means turning up every day, whether that's be training, games, Preparation needs to be right. Our tactical preparation needs to be right. Mindset needs to be right. We have to turn up on the day, because if you don't, then you haven't got a chance winning any game. It's on us to make sure we do that.
And as has been shown in so many games recently as well, you know, whether it's a starting player or one of the finishers, they can have a real impact, especially in a knockout game.
Yeah, they can. You know, we've already spoken earlier on about the possibility of extra time as well on the day. So your finishes become very, very important. You know, we've spoken a number of times about the value of the squad and my desire to make sure every player feels valued and a part of what we're trying to do. And the lads have embraced that this season. We've seen a big impact in our goals 75 minutes onwards, even 60 minutes onwards during the league season. And we have to take that into the cup games as well. So, you know, if it's the starters that make the difference, or whether it's the finishers that make the difference, as long as we win on the day, that's all that matters.
Great to hear from the manager, as always, on the show. Hopefully you've got FA Cup fever, and we'll be looking forward to the romance of the FA Cup. Kick-off, of course, it's been mentioned a few times, 11:30, it's a televised game. The scheduling is the reason for that. Many people have asked this week, why is it only 11:30? Wycombe Wanderers away to Wealdstone. It's fantastic to have Max on the show this week as well, to get a sort of a Wealdstone's eye view of the game as well. So hopefully it'll be fantastic. If you will, and if you're not going to the game, which is a sellout, you can hear full live commentary here on Wycombe Sound and on Wanderers TV with Phil. Join us next week on the show as well. Don't forget, if you're not listening at this point, there is a podcast available from wherever you get your podcast from. We're on YouTube, on the Wycombe Sound radio player page, and the previous four episodes are on the Listen Again feature on the website, wycombesound.org.uk.